e-bike probably for around 3 years now. So we have a cargo bike at work, and it's one of the cargo bikes with the front loader. So you can put dogs and kids in it, and there's nothing more amazing.
Time?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a guy from work, our COO, he rides in every day in a cargo bike, and he has both a child and a dog. And the dog comes to work, and the child gets dropped off at the primary school.
Fabulous. I've had an e-bike for not quite a year, and it's really opened up distances for me. So my road bike has got not really thin tyres, but they're a bit slippery on gravel. So when I up to an e-bike, and I got the same brand because I love the brand of my bike, I got slightly better tyres so I can ride on the rail trails.
Perfect.
But what it's opened up for me is being able to do really quite big rides. So I'm up to sort of 30, 40 kilometres.
Oh.
The friends I ride with have been riding a bit more. They're up to sort of 60, 80 kilometre rides.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're in the less young age groups, and we're finding those rides are very doable. But it's thanks to trains that we can actually get out to where some of the rides are without having to take lots of cars.
That's right. And so many groups are doing that. We work with bicycle user groups all over the stage, and every group that rides socially has usually a ride maybe on a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday and Saturday, and it is completely mixed groups now of e-bikes and what you would call a traditional bikes, and it's become just an essential fabric to the bike riding community than the groups. And it's also extending the length of people riding bikes. So we've got now 80-year-olds. I think we've even got 90-year-olds as our members at Bicycle Network. And most of those riders now are on e-bikes and they're loving it.
Because they're also great, even if you don't want to ride a long distance. I sometimes just jump on the coast path and just ride up and down our section of the bay here. And we have some pretty windy days. And so I find that if I want to do even a short 5 kilometre ride, having that little bit of power when I'm facing a headwind just makes it a lot more pleasurable.
Oh, it completely does. And I know we're both the converted, but riding to work, so in the morning I ride into work, and then sometimes in the evening you're like, oh, I've got to get home. But the e-bike just takes that whole, you know, that situation, that barrier away, because, you know, oh, I'll just jump on the e-bike. You know, you won't necessarily get sweaty, but you're still exercising. And I think that's a key point as well. It's recognised as exercise, and it keeps you fit and healthy, so it's also a great thing to do while you're commuting.
That's true, actually, because it doesn't help your strength, but it helps your flexibility and stamina, and it's a great thing to do. And I'm not a doctor, but I gather it's actually quite good for your legs if you've got knee problems and you don't want to put strain on your knees.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's controls on your e-bikes, of course. You know, there's like the turbo, which helps you a bit more.
Oh, I use the turbo on the hills.
Right through to the eco. And the eco, you're really riding like a non-powered bike, really. So there's quite a scale there.
And people
too
can't tell that my e-bike is an e-bike.
Oh,
it's
great.
Quite slimline, and people don't realise that it's an e-bike, so
I can
sort of slip around.
And the technology is just getting better and better.
And let's talk about that, Alison, because, you know, for people who are not converted as you and I are, what is an electric bike?
Yeah, so an electric bike is not an unroadworthy motorcycle, and unroadworthy motorcycles are in the media masquerading as e-bikes, and a lot of negativity, you know, and we've seen some tragic, you know, fatalities with these unroadworthy motorbikes out there. So let's get straight what an e-bike is. And the majority of people are actually using legal e-bikes as well. So there are really three key rules around it. One, that the person's pedalling. So when you see an e-bike going along and they're not pedalling, that has a throttle. So that's the second one. It's got a throttle, and that's clearly not an e-bike. So the person must be pedalling their bike. And then that pedal assist that you get with the e-bike, and everyone needs to try one to have this feeling, but it's wonderful, that cuts out when it gets to 25 kilometres in speed. So you can actually go faster if you push that bike yourself. You can go faster, but the pedal assist from the motor cuts out at 25 kilometres. And then the third one is actually the size of the motor, and that's 250 watts in Victoria. So you must have those three things for it to be classed as an e-bike.
Okay, an electric bike. So just to clarify that then, the illegal motorbikes have a powerful motor and a throttle, and the riders don't need to pedal because essentially it's a motorbike.
Yeah, you can see. I mean, I think we've all probably seen examples out there where, you know, bikes are going 60 kilometres an hour. That's just ridiculous, and it's dangerous because the actual bike isn't made to necessarily travel that fast, and not obviously pedalling at the same time, and that is not an e-bike, and it's being seen as an e-bike, which is causing all kinds of issues.
And also the people riding them often don't have the protective gear on their bodies that they would have if they were riding a motorbike and had a fall.
Yeah, and also we're seeing, which is kind of quite sad to say, you know, we're actually seeing an unfortunate situation where parents are buying these bikes for their kids and they're wearing full face helmets. I mean, that's just crazy. You know, they are wearing this protective gear, but they just shouldn't be riding these bikes. It's just really dangerous, and it's not a great situation. And I'm certain parents just need some education around that to understand exactly what they're buying.
And with the e-bike, where the motor is on the bike makes a difference to the performance of the bike, doesn't it? So you might see an e-bike with a motor on the back wheel, and you might see one with a motor in the centre of the bike.
Yeah, and what we're also seeing, and this is where the battery issue comes in, we're seeing people fitting illegal battery kits onto bikes, turning them into these illegal motorbikes. And this is where we're seeing a lot of the danger with fires. So in fact, when you talk about the battery fires, there's actually no known instance of battery fires with what a compliant e-bike is. So your bike that you've purchased from a store, I'm certain that the battery brand on that might be a Bosch or a Shimano, and they've never had a battery fire. So the battery fires aren't being caused by reputable bikes. It is these batteries that are being imported. They cost next to nothing, and so they're dangerous. So we really need to address the import standards that are currently in place, which is shocking, so that we can really stop the importation of these illegal motorbikes and also these batteries as well.
So it's the fires that are being caused by the illegal and oversized motors that are coming in. Illegally.
Yeah, so really that's the issue, and we need to deal with that because, as you mentioned before, now there's talk about banning e-bikes on trains as a knee-jerk reaction when we know the compliant e-bikes are not the issue.